This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The Drippers, the Grasshoppers, the Hip Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying eyes a kite.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Hey, hold on to our listeners. Jumping on now at WAAF, Boston's legendary rock station. Also 98.3, The Keg in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and our friends at Z-Rock 103 in Lexington, Kentucky. Big show, bad jokes on the way, Ted versus the FCC. And today our question, what made your traveling experience suck? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Rose. Welcome to The Men's Room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So I frequently comment on the videos, so you guys know that I travel quite a bit.
Mm, yes. We read every post you put up on the internet.
Mike would know better than us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one that is willing to wax your butthole.
Oh, all right.
That Rose. Okay.
Really, Rose.
And Miles, I'm happy to wax your nose.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Rose, I just need a back. Good. My butt's fine.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rose, I would say...
Okay.
When you say things like that, like, oh, that Rose. Right. We don't confuse it with any other Rose.
Good. So a couple years ago, I started traveling regularly for work, and now I travel about 24 weeks of the year. And when I first was offered the job and started traveling, this was actually one of my first trips that the company had sent me on. And I was traveling home from South Carolina, and my layover was in Atlanta. Well, when the plane hit the ground from North Carolina into Atlanta, I got a notification that my connecting flight in Atlanta was already boarding, and we had not gotten to a gate yet. So at the point where I got off of the plane, I was in like Terminal B in the Atlanta airport and had to get to Terminal G. And so I ended up having to beg a gate agent at a gate where there was nobody boarding to call my connecting gate, let them know that I was on my way. And I had to do the Home Alone dash all the way through the Atlanta airport, you know, try to get on the train, go a couple of stops and get off the train and rudely push my way up the escalators and run through the terminal. And I was wearing flip-flops. So at the point where I realized I was not running effectively, I took my flip-flops off and was holding them in my hands and sprinting through the terminal and sweating. And as I approached my gate, the gate agent called my name because she had kind of seen me running. And I was like, yes, it's me. And she goes, come on, hon, we're holding the plane for you. So they held the plane for almost 7 minutes for me. And when I boarded, I was now dripping sweat. I had like visible boob sweat marks through my shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I hope she sits next to me.
Boob sweat.
Yeah. Well, the glorious part of this was I was in row 42, so I had to do the walk of shame all the way down the plane.
Are people pissed off at you?
Oh, man, I got all the dirty looks, like all the dirty looks, even though I'm like literally just dripping sweat off of my chin, through my elbows.
When you realize on a plane, it doesn't matter what, when people are ready to take off on a plane, it does not matter what they tell you, they hate you.
The person who hates you the most is a person that thought they were going to have an empty seat beside him until you showed up.
And then you're all sweaty with boob sweat.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
We were in a bar one night at in an airport, and I can't remember where the hell we were. But all I remember was we were at the bar and the announcement over the loudspeaker went, Stephen Hill, Miles Montgomery to gate D3.
And I'm like, we gotta go.
Well, we didn't realize. Well, they didn't. We just got up, went to the gate. We're like, where is everyone? And they're like, hey, man, everyone's on
the
flight.
On the plane.
Right, exactly. We're like, oh, all right, then cool.
I thought that was. Did anyone try to stop you from running in the airport? Because anytime I've run through an airport, security either gets suspicious or they tell you to slow down, which blows my mind. I'm like, dude, you know why anyone's running in an airport, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, there's another little side one. Last spring, I was headed home from Oakland on an empty Southwest flight, and there was this gentleman behind me, and I had a whole row to myself. He really wanted to talk to me, and I kept blowing him off and pretended I was sleeping, and he wanted to talk to me so bad that he, like, reached over the seat and, like, scritched my forehead or scritched my head to wake me up because he wanted to be my friend that bad.
What did he want to talk to you about? That's kind of weird.
Anything. He was actually from Mike Hawk's hometown of Eatonville and
wanted me to ride home.
I mean, either way, it's still pretty redneck, but, you know, he wanted me to give him a ride home, and I was like,
play nice.
Wow, Rose, you're full of vigor today, aren't you?
Well, he's one of them rednecks.
Was he? You wax people's buttholes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, like, on the scale of, like, making fun of people, like, we could have a field day with
you. Do you travel for that? Do you travel to wax?
I travel to teach people how to wax, yes.
Ah, okay. All right.
That's cool.
I thought, like, you were so in demand, like, only Rose can wax
mine. I'll do all the guys in Thunder Down Under.
All right. Although, I guess if someone were going to wax me in that particular place, if I like you, you're my person.
Right. Doing the whole U.S. swim team.
How do you do that ever? Like, a doctor, I get to a degree, right? You get to the point in the physical, I'm doing this for your health. I don't want to do it any more than you want to do it, right? But I feel like when you're doing the wax thing, like, I just, at some point you go, is this what I want to do in my life? I get you want to make people feel better about themselves. Your back, chest, armpits, legs, all that. But at the point that some guy's spreading his cheeks, I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but also, and I don't know this, but I would think maybe sometimes as a woman, it's kind of fun to wax a dude and see him in pain.
I'm sure it is. But I would still think after a while, it's just...
It's old hat.
I was looking at his orifice.
What made your traveling experience suck? 844-999-OLA.
I wonder if they like really hairy stuff. Because they're always taking it off. Maybe in their personal life, stay hairy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know. You might meet Rose and she's like, I'm not doing your back. Take me to dinner. Stay you fuzzy hairy. Son of a bitch. I want your pelt.
Stay hairy, my friends.
I am not always hairy, but when I am. Hello, Cheyenne. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So my travel story actually took place just last Thursday, and partially at least, it involves you all.
Okay.
Okay, so I was supposed to be at a show that took place last Saturday, a band called Bruiser Brody, who I'm sure you know.
Yeah, I was there.
I was there.
Yes. And so I live in South Dakota, as I've mentioned before, and last Thursday I was... literally standing in line to get on the plane, and there was a bunch of fog, and I literally watched my flight go from on time to canceled. And it sucked because I had planned to leave you all a gift and all that stuff, and it just didn't happen. Been bummed about it ever since.
Oh, well, man. You get here another weekend.
Yeah.
We'll be
No, it was going to be a gift card for ice cream, actually, because ice cream is awesome. And I also... nothing brings me greater joy than hearing Miles go, oh, God, that smells like a dry riverbed because Phil farted. So.
You know what? It brings me a lot of joy, too, Cheyenne. I'll tell you that right now.
You got another call coming in, Cheyenne.
Just a text. He'll be all right.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, man. What made your traveling experience suck? 844-999-OLA.
I appreciate that he wanted to bring us ice cream.
I would also say, at some point, can you just blame family members? I mean, my dad would have a meltdown on, like, every vacation we went
to. Well, it's the thing. Right. It can be someone. It can be something. I mean, right. It's, like you said, your father. But you guys had to be somewhat prepared for it, knowing it's going to happen. But the sense I get from the stories you tell, like, there's one meltdown you talk about, but it's only because it trumped the other seven that happened on the same trip. Right?
Right. And the problem is, it's like a bomb. You never knew when it was going to go off.
Were there any things that you knew would set them off? I mean, like, you know, you could set someone off. I could walk up to your face and slap you.
Is it always every vacation you guys go on that something happens? There's an incident?
When I was a child?
Yes.
Almost every vacation.
And was it always an interaction?
No, you didn't know. Like one time, literally, a guy I knew, right, was working at a college. Now, he had gone to DeMatha, this and that. So I said to him something like, hey, that guy works at a college. And another guy, he wasn't working at the time. I said, why don't you work at a college? I don't know why we're going to college. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, you really didn't know. There's like that story I tell about being on the boardwalk in Ocean City. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what my sister and her friend said, but he just rips off his fanny pack and comes like charging by and like tosses it to my mom. Like, I'm done. It's like,
I like it when the fanny pack is the statement.
Right, and it's hard to look
tough. When I rip off my, right.
But like, he like, click, here you go.
But I think you only know the tip of the iceberg.
What?
As far as the stories go. Like, you only know what you've seen. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but you still
you
say...
You guys are the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot I don't tell.
Oh, okay.
But even if it's the tip of the iceberg, that means he was always in iceberg-infested water, right? So there might be more to the story, but it's like, Dad, how many goddamn stories are there? You know what I mean? Like, people freak out. I get it. I was a little kid, and my parents, they weren't quite arguing. It's just, my mom was, long story short, we're in a Volkswagen bus. We're doing our typical cross-country drive. The air conditioner broke down in the Volkswagen bus. I got up to 113 degrees.
Yeah.
Broke down all the time. My mother was not quite a fan of this, to put it mildly, and we could hear them, well, I could hear her talking to my father in the front seat, and you just knew. If you say anything right now, either one of your parents will kill you. And it sucked because we still had like another 100 miles before we could find a motel. We had an unexpected stop in Texarkana on the Arkansas-Texas border.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Classic.
There was a mechanic there. That is why. And then we had to get a motel room there. I remember all of this. I just remember it was an unplanned stop and that my mother was very unfriendly during this entire time.
Okay.
Because of the heat. But, like, it kind of ruined the trip, man. It's already a long-ass car ride. And then when this goes down, I mean, so even the next day, air conditioning's fixed. I don't know what conversation maybe they had between each other, but the wounds were still fresh, man. And it's one of those deals where me and my brother, we're little kids. Like, we can't say anything. Don't do anything. If you have to pee, hold it, man. No, don't say a word. And it's, it was like 16 hours in the car thinking they're going to kill each other, they're going to kill us.
That's one thing about being intuitive that you learn very early on in life. You know when you can ask your parents, can I spend the night at someone's house? Can I do whatever it is? Can we do this? You know the right time, and you also the night, you know when to go to your room and just shut the door.
Just
and
not say
just,
anything.
Just kind of out of sight, out of mind until it blows over.
What made your traveling experience suck? 844-999-OLA. More your calls coming up. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We return to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
A family vacationing in Miami told Local 10 News they were booted from their flight after passengers complained about their body odor. There's no body odor that we have, according to the husband. There's nothing wrong with us. He and his wife and their 19-year-old daughter were preparing to fly back home to Detroit when they were escorted off of their American Airlines flight. All of a sudden, as soon as they took us off, they closed the gate and then they said, sorry, sir, some people complained you had really bad body odor and we're not letting you back on.
Smell it.
The family said they were told their luggage would be taken off of the plane, but that did not happen, leaving them with the only thing they had was the clothes on their backs. They have our car seat. They have our stroller. They have everything. American Airlines sent a statement to Local 10 News acknowledging the reason for their removal. The family were removed from the flight when several passengers complained about their body odor. They've been booked into a hotel for the night and given meal vouchers. They have been rebooked on another flight the following day. They did return to Miami International Airport in hopes that they would be able to fly home. We stopped several people in the airport, and it's embarrassing, but we asked them, do you think we smell? Because we just got kicked off a plane for smelling. The husband said he's frustrated and wants to know the real reason they were forced off the plane. I want them to own up to what really happened and tell the truth. They sent a text message acknowledging that they had made it to Detroit and successfully reunited with their luggage when they got there.
Stinky.
Our question, what made your traveling experience suck? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Daniel. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, first off, Thrill, it was awesome. I met you at the airport in the security line, took a picture with you right before Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
And that picture got more likes than my son being born, I think, in the first, like, hour.
Well, I think your kid's ugly. That's got to be it.
It's got to be it. Mm-hmm. So, it's funny that you guys kind of kicked it off talking about Vegas and everything, because my horrible experience has to deal with Vegas.
Okay.
I've never been, and every year I would go, I'd fly down to San Diego to meet up with my family, and we'd drive over to Laughlin, Nevada, and my aunt and uncle's friend had a nephew that was competing in the national BMX races in Vegas. And I was like, man, I've never been. And he was driving him from Laughlin, Nevada over to Vegas. And they were like, sure, go with him. You know, we're only going to be there for a few hours. Well, guy found out I've never been to Vegas. And he was like, you got to stay for the lights. So I was, you know, I was older than 21. So we started drinking and tying it on. And this girl came up to him. And I knew she was a professional right off the get-go. And she hung around the rest of the night for a while, and we were three sheets to the wind, and we were like, all right, screw it, we're going to get a hotel because it's too late, and we're both too smashed to drive back, and we were at the Bellagio, and so we went to go find a hotel. My cell phone's dead. Hey, go in and check this hotel. We were in a cab. Go check in this hotel, see if they have any vacancies. I come out, and he's gone.
Is he with the chick?
He left. Yeah, he left with the chick in the cab, and I'm in this hotel seeing if they have any vacancies. My cell phone's dead. I had no more cash because Vegas took it all. And so the nice people at the hotel let me plug my phone in enough to charge it and transfer money to put it on my debit card so that I could take a cab back to Laughlin. I was too plastered to take the $50 airplane ride.
How much did the cab cost?
$400.
Oh,
how much?
$400.
How far was the cab ride
from Vegas to Laughlin? Yeah. I don't know, it was a couple hours. It feels like.
Make you pay up front? I'm guessing.
Yeah, they made me pay up front for sure because it was such a long drive. The cab driver was like, "Hey, man, I tried to stay awake," and he was like, "Fall asleep, man." He's like, "You are plastered," and he was like, "Try and get some rest." And I just felt bad, you know, him making that long drive. And he was like, "It works out for me. I live out this way, so I'll be done with my shift after."
Hey, don't feel bad. He doesn't have to take it. I will say that Vegas is exceptionally accommodating in those situations because, look, they understand everyone is there acting a fool, right? So whether you're messed up on drugs, messed up on booze, you lost your money, they've dealt with it all. And they're always very calm, like, "Just come this way, sir. Look, I lost my wallet there," started freaking out. Security got a hold of me, man. They took care of it for me.
Mm-hmm. Still a shorter ride, though, than the Denver airport to Denver.
Yeah, that is true.
I pulled a receipt out of my pocket for a triple shot of Fireball at the Bellagio at like 4 o'clock in the morning. And my aunt and uncle weren't too happy when I got back to Laughlin, but the guy showed up a couple hours later, and he felt super bad, so he reimbursed me for the cab ride. But, man, my first trip to Vegas, I got left and cost me $400 to get back to my family.
That was pretty straight up.
But that's a trip to Vegas. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how Vegas goes, man. You know, your best laid plans.
I got him back. We were jet skiing on the Colorado River, and I jumped his jet ski on a big boat wave, and I broke the motor mounts and cost him some money afterwards.
Yeah. That'll show you.
It was worth it.
But wait a minute. You didn't need to get him back. He paid you back,
right?
Yeah, but, you know, leave me in Vegas. I'll make you spend some money on your jet ski.
All right. What made your traveling experience suck? 844-999-HOLA. I'm with you. Did you a solid?
Didn't do that part. He didn't mess the thing up on purpose. He just said it happened to work out that way.
Two things about Vegas. Number one, I agree with you, especially the first time you go, something weird is going to happen.
Without a doubt.
And then number two is, you're right. I have been to that airport at McLaren and sat in a bar and just felt like a complete piece of crap. Like, I need to get out of this town. And there's always misery with you. And then the bartender's just like, "Yeah, man, get another drink. It doesn't matter."
Wait, no.
Yeah, like, all right, you did whatever. It's Vegas.
Everyone here is unhappy.
Yeah, but what a different flight, too, man. You get in that flight going to Vegas. I was like, "Woo, all right, yeah. You get in that flight, it's dead quiet on the way home.
Everyone feels like crap. People are broke. Send an apology text.
Yeah, it's one of the few times. Like, I love a daytime beer. I like a morning beer. Miles is like, "You want a beer?" I'm like, "I can't. I'm going to puke."
Let's go to Burger King first.
Yeah, like, I am teetering on that line. And I'm not a puker, but I was like,
I think part of the difference in Vegas, though, that's the only place I go where you say, "Hey, man, you have a 10 o'clock flight. We should be at the airport by 8. It's 4 in the morning. And you honestly debate, should we just power through? Right, because mm-hmm. the bar's open, the casino's still have, so sometimes, like, the hell with it, I'm going to keep drinking. And you still walk into a world of regret. Somehow, as soon as you get to the airport, no matter how good you felt, it all ends right there.
Oh, yeah.
You know? That lonely woman playing the last bit of the slot machine that she can before she boards her flight.
And she looks just as unhappy as you.
What made your traveling experience suck? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Caden. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, guys. What's up?
Hola.
I like to say, long-time listener, first-time caller, so it's good to be on.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it.
Welcome to the show.
All right. So, the story I have comes from about 3 years ago, where I was down in California for the Junior Olympics. I used to play water polo. So
you might be the first person I've spoken to that actually plays water polo.
Yeah, swimming, water polo, whole shebang.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
My buddy, he was kind of a troublemaker down there and got us kicked out of a couple of restaurants because he couldn't stop hitting on the waitresses and whatnot. So
he must have been taking it to a different level to
get
kicked
out.
I mean, there's one thing to hit on a waitress. There's another thing to get kicked out.
They get flirted with all day. That means you had to go above and beyond.
Oh, yeah. We were just out of money from having to tip him so bad to try and make up for all the stuff that he was doing.
We're so sorry. Take our money.
Damn.
I hate those friends.
Yeah.
I have them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, I'm never going out with him again. I say it every time. Never.
So we get to the airport, and we start boarding our flight. Everything's going fine. He's behaving himself. And we finally take off, and he's at it again. He's hitting on every lady that he can find on that plane. And I have to sit right next to him and practically be his babysitter for that whole
flight. Is this guy an attractive guy?
Oh, not at all.
All right.
Oh. Not at all.
See, this does not help his cause.
That's why he was hitting on all of them. Not like the second one who said, yes, let's speak.
Yeah. But, and that was only the first part of what made this so bad. So the second part that made this so bad was there was this lady back at the plane, a couple rows back. She had apparently gotten drunk beforehand. And she decided to keep drinking throughout the duration of that flight. Well, she clearly wasn't a very... a calm drinker, so she starts getting up, starts arguing with everyone to the point where she's starting to fight the flight attendants. And this is about halfway through our flight, so we had to sit there and listen to this lady scream and kick and try and just wrestle with the flight attendants back there. They didn't stop the flight, they didn't do anything.
Well, what do they do to calm her down? I mean, do they zip tie her ass to a seat or what?
I had no idea what they were doing, but eventually it goes silent. And, you know, all of a sudden we start approaching the airport and like flight attendants get ready, you know, standard procedure. So we start pulling up and they pull off to the side. So they didn't even pull up to the gate. And there they are, all the police, everything lined up. And they had to come on the plane, arrest the lady, and drag her off before we were even able to get out of the plane.
Was it kind of awesome or were you just annoyed at this point?
After listening through my buddy hit on, I'd say, about six different girls that flight, that was pretty annoying.
Yeah, you know, man, I had a bizarre, nothing happened. Nothing happened at all. It was just bizarre. It was one of those things where you go, huh.
How bizarre.
How bizarre.
How bizarre.
It was a red-eye flight back to the East Coast, and I had to fly through Detroit.
Okay.
So I get on the plane, I sit down. They're waiting a little bit, and then these four security police officers bring two guys who are handcuffed in orange jumpsuits down the aisle. They set them down on the plane, and then they all four leave. When we get to Detroit...
Wait, is anybody with them?
Nope.
So they just put them on the plane, and
they're handcuffed. They're sitting down. You guys, you got to take a flight to Detroit. We get to Detroit, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. We have to wait for the officers who are picking, and they weren't on time. So we had to wait.
Course.
We could not get off of the plane until these guys got off first. So it was just so weird. Because, you know, like.
I mean, do they say that? Like,
you're on a plane.
You have to wait until
right,
two passengers.
These guys had shackles on their legs.
But they had no escort.
They did not have an escort on the plane.
That's what I mean.
They were escorted on the plane, and then they were escorted off the plane. Correct.
And. I mean, did they sleep on the flight?
They were behind me. I don't know. I mean, I saw them when I went to use the bathroom. They were just sitting there. You know, like,
were their ankles shackled too?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what they could have done.
Wouldn't you think you'd have like one escort? I mean, I get that they're shackled and all that, but it just, mm-hmm. I don't know, field questions.
I would just give him one hand to drink a coffee or something. You know what I mean? But either way, it was just so weird. I was like, they're being transferred.
Man.
It was crazy, though, because I was just like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, well, you got the same, basically, you're in the same zone I am. So, I mean, pretty good seats.
What is the perk of being a flight attendant? You know, just anytime I get on a plane, I try to be cooperative and all that. But let's face it, man. It just seems like the job sucks.
I think it all goes to hell when people get on them. People either know how to travel or
they
don't.
I know you travel, but the thing is, even when, just like the pilots, I mean, depending what your turnaround is, you're there for a minute. Maybe you can go out and have a little bit of fun, and then per regulation, you got to stop. But then you get back on the plane, and it's just a bunch of angry people again.
Yeah, but
people pooping in the seats, people yell, people mad at you.
All the flight attendants I know, like, they like to travel. And
sure,
so it's like one thing if you have a turn, but like, number one, you can hop on flights.
Yeah, yeah.
And then number two is a lot of times they do have like a day or two. So like, trust me, they like to have fun.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I hope it's Oh, look. The older I've gotten and the more I've talked to flight attendants, clearly much like teachers, when they're not at work, they are thrown down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I get it. Maybe that's why. Teachers deal with a bunch of loudmouth kids, right? You're a flight attendant, you deal with a bunch of loudmouth passengers. They need drinks more than anyone I know.
What made your traveling experience suck? 844-999-OLA.
Well, some people just need to remember, like, you're not at a restaurant. You're on a flight.
And a flight attendant has nothing to do with the time, anything going on in the plane, right?
And remember, till it takes off, they ain't getting paid.
Ah, goddamn, that's right. That is effed up. Hello, Craig. Welcome to the men's room.
Craig.
I don't hear
it. Goodbye, Craig.
Okay. Man, of course, Craig on a Friday.
The best story of the
crazy.
Day.
I know, man. I was looking forward to Craig. Hello, Kathy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
Thanks for taking my call. I was back in 2013. I was flying home from Disney World with my daughter, and our plane was landing at Chicago O'Hare, my favorite airport. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love it. And I'm looking forward to this great four-hour stay because they have dinosaur bones and sushi restaurant. It's just a great airport. And we're flying in, and the flaps go down, the wheels go down, and we're approaching the runway. And then the plane engines just go into this absolute effort. You can feel the plane straining and just about touches down and takes off again. Aborted landing. And so we start circling around for about 20 minutes. They're not telling us anything. I'm scared to death because I have a flight anxiety anyway. And thank God there was a guy next to me who was keeping me calm. And my daughter's all lackadaisy. Well, look, Mommy, there's downtown Chicago, and you wanted to see it anyway, so there
Shut
it is.
Their
and she's
trying
to make light of it, right? And I'm just like, So we circle around for a while. And then we go, and we're approaching the airport again. Flaps down, wheels down, almost touchdown approaching, and one more time, the engine strained to get us up. And the plane banks around to the right very steeply. And again, we're circling around for about 20 minutes. And by this time, I'm just, you know, fighting back tears. Guy next to me, it's okay. If something was really bad, they'd let us know. So anyway, finally, the pilot comes on and says the control tower had us coming in too high both times. We're being rerouted to another runway. So after like a 50-minute odyssey in total, we finally land. Everybody applauds, and that's great. So I get home, and I call my friend who's an airline pilot, and he said, that wasn't the control tower's fault. It was the pilot's fault. I've been a pilot for 25 years. They don't tell you to come in any way other than where you should come in. It was pilot error.
Twice?
So, as a flight phobe, I think about that every time I fly afterwards. But it was really terrifying. We had a beautiful vacation, landed safely, enjoyed my sushi and dinosaur bones and all that, and came home to Seattle. But it was
really do like
really
that
terrifying.
Sushi and dinosaur bones. Mm-hmm. That's all you need at the airport for you to be happy.
You're probably really too old for this, but never be on acid and go through that tunnel in Chicago. Man, oh man, is that trippy.
No, right. Yeah, the rainbow tunnel with all the lights.
Oh, man.
That
will F you up in the
I would
head,
like
man.
To. But the problem is, it's the airport. I don't want to be anywhere near an airport on psychedelics.
Right, well, it's just the problem.
Yeah.
You know, if you start freaking out, your friends get it, man. But, you know, airports, they don't have a big tolerance for you having issues.
And I just can't imagine sitting on a plane.
It's that
tripping.
One and that weird jungle kind of thing they have on the wall in Atlanta. And at at Hartfield. Have you ever seen that, like the whole green thing and the stuff?
I don't remember that. I remember like the
train. It's this weird, weird thing. It's cool art, man. It's very cool. You'll find some. Actually, she's right. You will find some very cool art in airports across this country. My favorite
because you're stuck there.
My favorite is Franco Harris made of Legos in the Pittsburgh airport or the Minister Rogers neighborhood display.
Can you tell that it's Franco Harris before you read?
Yes.
Oh, 100%. You can't. I mean, it's Franco. You can't miss it.
He's 30.
And I have said this before, but I know exactly what he's talking about because it's right by the Fridays.
It is, man. Go to get a picture with Franco. Go to the Fridays.
Like every time I go, I take a picture instead of my buddy that's a Steelers fan.
I need to go to the Pittsburgh airport.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's actually not a bad airport.
Get a three-for-all.
It's never busy. There's no one there.
I will say this. Well, one time in the San Francisco airport, they have some decent restaurants in there.
Sure.
So me and my buddy are sitting in there, and I ordered, like, shrimp. Like peel and eat shrimp or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And the bartender just kind of, like, he doesn't, like, wave me. He kind of gives me the head nod, like, get over here.
Yeah.
And I walk over. I'm like, what's up, man? He's like, look, I'm going to shoot you straight. You should get the fried shrimp. I wouldn't eat that shrimp you ordered. I was like, cool. Good looking out.
That's always cool, man, when someone gives you a heads up.
Yeah,
I think, like, the San Jose airport has got great food.
They have
nice restaurants, man.
It depends on the size of the airport, man. Like, if you end up in a really small airport, there is, of course, the Hudson News, because that's a requirement. I believe that's a federal requirement for your airport to open. Do you have a Hudson News yet, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then nothing else. And then there's other airports. You go to the major cities, you're like, God damn, I could, like, you could shop here, man.
I was staying in downtown San Francisco. The plane was circling, like she was saying, above the airport. Would not land based on fog, whatever the deal was. It was delays or whatever. So the pilot's like, he comes on, he goes, folks, we're going to take one more lap around here, but unfortunately, we are almost out of fuel. So if we don't make it this time, we'll be landing in San Jose. And I'm like, what the hell am I going to do in San Jose? How in the hell am I going to get
party?
You know what I mean? So as soon as we start heading to San Jose, he banks hard right. He's like, just got word we can land. I mean, like, thank God. Thank God. I didn't have to take a cab ride for like 2 hours.
Well, the alternative might be crashing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What made your traveling experience suck? 844-999-OLA. More your calls on the way. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hola, bitches. You're listening to The Men's Room.
Still to come, the exciting return of Ted versus the FCC. Bad jokes on the way. Email those bad jokes at the men's room at mensroomlive.com. We'll do the bad jokes right before we drink and toast with a shot of the day. Our question, what made your traveling experience suck? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Tim. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen and Robin.
Hola.
So, back in 2004, I had transitioned from radio into TV broadcasting. I worked as a production master control operator.
All right.
Living down in the Tri-Cities area of Washington, and around my birthday in July, my friends that I went to high school with were like, hey, come up to Canada for the weekend, hang out with us. And I'm like, well, I've never been to Canada before, so why the heck not? So I went and got, at the time, all I needed was my birth certificate, ID, what have you. So I went and got all my documentation and headed north. Have any of you guys been to the border crossing in Blaine?
I have, yeah, many times.
Okay, so I'm at the border crossing in Blaine. At the time, I was driving a red Mazda MX-3, a little sport car, just, you know, something to drive A to B, haul my kid around. And I'm listening to the radio out of Bellingham, and an Amber Alert hits. And I'm like, okay, that sucks. They're looking for a guy out of Kennewick who, earlier in that day, unbeknownst to me, having been in transit, had unfortunately murdered his in-laws and kidnapped his 4 kids.
Well, hello.
And I'm like, that sucks. And right as I get there, I'm seeing all the guys at the border start eyeballing me because Kennewick registration, Kennewick driver's license, only my name wasn't the guy they were looking for. I still got pulled out of my car, detained for 4 hours. My car was ripped apart. My luggage was gone through. And all because my work ID, driver's license, vehicle registration, all my documentation said I was not this guy. They didn't care. I was still this guy because I fit the timeline I was in a red sports car, and I was a 5'8" male from Kennewick. So I'm like, well, this is just great. They finally let me go when they realized it wasn't the dude they were looking for. And the border official's like, are you bringing any guns into our country? The last thing he said to me, and I said, look, it ain't my job to introduce freedom to a socialist worker's paradise. I'm just here to party. And they did not enjoy that statement, and it took me a few hours to get my car back together, put the seats back in, snap all the panels back. I went in, called my buddies, and I'm like, look, I'm out. Canada can suck it. And I drove back home. I was done.
So you never got in. You never got into the country.
I made it into Canada proper, called my buddies, and bounced. I was like, no, we're not doing this. Now, to sidebar that, to show the efficiency of the Department of Correction system, the guy that they were looking for was picked up in Oregon a year later on an unrelated drug charge. Oregon DOC, Washington DC didn't talk to each other. So the guy they wanted for murder and kidnapping was already in jail down in Oregon. Yeah, so I was just like, love the efficiency, guys. So, yeah, that was what made my travel stories worse. I'd been to Jackson Hartsfield Airport, by the way. I actually enjoyed it. Had to do a week of FEMA training down in Anniston, Alabama. But otherwise, I've had no issues with traveling. But I keep telling my wife, I will not go to Mexico. I will not go back to Canada. So we're just going to stay in the United States unless we can go to Germany at some point. So
what's up? What happened in Mexico?
Nothing. I kind of don't want to deal with border crossings anymore.
All right. Okay. Well, see, typically,
take a plane.
Typically, for
take
me,
the plane. Yeah, exactly. Listen, one thing, you know, I don't know how it is in every country, but certainly in Mexico, they have the drugs, they have the blah, 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 but there's no, like, big terrorism things. Like, when they check your suitcase, even, like, I'll put it this way. Years ago, I went to Mexico with Ryan Castle. When we were leaving Mexico, they select whose suitcases are going to go through or whatever. So they decide they're going to go through mine, no big deal. The dudes that checked my suitcase, this is no lie, it was two mimes. All right? So they have the white face paint on. They're wearing the stripes. They're not saying anything. They're dressed like mine. And they're going through your suitcase. But they're legitimately going through your suitcase. No matter what to them, they wouldn't speak because they're mimes.
They would be great for that job in all airports.
Jesus.
It was just weird.
That's creepy.
It was weird, man. I'm like, is this
But you realize that a mime is not going to say anything. So no matter what you say to them, you know what I mean? All bets are off.
Maybe.
Hola, the shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.